All right, you're in the arms room with Glenn.
And Drew.
And we are another wonderful pre-recorded show, man. We've had a lot of these things lately. Not my favorite thing in the world to do, but sometimes we got to do them because we got other stuff going on. And a lot of times we try to avoid doing it, but, you know, we got training or trips or whatever that flow over a Monday, and so be it. I'm not even going to try to do the future, present thing, and past thing. I still can't remember it after all these years. No fucking idea. We pre-recorded this show. There you go, okay? It was in the past. Now you're hearing it from the present, but we did it so you would hear it in the future. How about that?
All right. I think that's it.
I don't fucking know. Thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show. What it looks like we're going to end up doing is for the schoolhouse courses is we're just going to do classes just for you guys and then try in January next Tuesday for the body armor and equipment class. We're going to try to mess around with it then. I'm gonna not be teaching that one, so I'm just going to be able to fuck with the stupid camera shit. And so I'm going to try to do it then. But for the other programs that you've missed, which is Arm Movement and Structures 1, Arm Movement and Structures 2, or Structural Arm Movement, where the hell we're calling them, those two classes and the External Ballistics and Rifle Optics class, we're actually going to do some videos just for you guys. We're going to pre-record them live. I'm sorry, not pre-record. That doesn't make any fucking sense, pre-recording live. We're going to record them live, but we're going to pre-schedule them. That's what I meant to say, so that our patrons can hop on live and have the opportunity to ask questions and all that kind of stuff. And they'll still be in the evening, and we'll still pick an evening to do them. But that's what we're going to have to do because we can't make up for the other shit. It was way too freaking weird. But I still want to make sure you guys get the content that we promised you. So that is definitely happening. Just give us some time. We're definitely going to get to it. Hopefully by the end of this month. We got some time freeing up here. It's just we've been mad with training lately. So anyway. Remember to send us your sticker photos. If you've got some Sabertooth Tiger stickers or Arms Room stickers, and you stick them on something cool and you want to send us the photo, Drew loves to get them and repost them. So we appreciate seeing where you guys are representing the show. And remember, if you have show ideas, please send them to us. Most of our show ideas, probably 90% of our show ideas, come specifically from our listeners and our patrons specifically. So make sure that, especially if you're a patron, that you send us your show ideas because we are – if you send us a show idea, the likelihood we're going to use it – unless we've done it like within the last month, the likelihood we're going to do it or something – some variation of it is like really, really good. So, you know, send it over info@trainingaz.com and we are happy to put that on the show. News, of course, is a pre-recorded show. So the only bit of news I have right now – is a very disturbing potential trend starter here. Poly80, the company that creates the quote-unquote ghost guns, got raided yesterday.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Or today, actually. I'm sorry. They got raided today. Oh, no, yesterday. I was right. Yeah, they got raided yesterday. Federal agents on Thursday raided one of the nation's largest manufacturers of ghost gun parts, a sign that federal law enforcement's cracking down on kits that allow people to make weapons at home.
Wow.
So they raided them based on – hold on. I think it had something to do with taxes or something. I'm trying to find it real quick. Approximately 10,000 ghost guns were recovered by law enforcement in 2019 according to the warrant application. As part of the investigation, the ATF identified multiple Polymer 80 customers who were prohibited from buying guns because of prior criminal convictions. It says on here, one of them, like, they weren't paying taxes or something. God damn it. Where is the – here we go. They're suspected of – Nevada-based Polymer 80 is suspected of illegally manufacturing and distributing firearms, failing to pay taxes, shipping guns across state lines, and failing to conduct background investigations. According to an application for a search warrant unsealed Thursday after the raid took place.
Wow.
They sell the kits online, which meet the definition of a firearm, ATF investigators determined according to the warrant application. That means it has to be stamped with a serial number. This is the kind of shit we can expect in the future, folks. More manufacturers, more of this kind of stuff happening, more of Big Brother saying, no, you're not allowed to do that. They specifically identify firearms that were used in shootings that were, you know, unserialized, quote-unquote, ghost guns, but fail to mention that nobody fucking cares, because those people would have used other firearms. If they didn't use those, they would have used other ones. It's not that – it is not hard to illegally get a firearm.
Yeah, you can just buy it from the government. Well, Obama.
Yeah, if you want to jump in on that Fast and Furious thing, you can just do that. Like, it's not that hard to get a firearm. I don't understand. Oh, it's just mind-numbing. So anyways, it's coming, folks. And we still have no idea what the hell's going on with the election, but we absolutely know that if Biden ends up in power, they're already talking about all the gun control stuff they're going to do. We know that gun control has absolutely nothing to do with reducing crime. It has never, ever, ever reduced crime.
They have the, you know, no guns in the UK, so all of their crime rates are done with stabbings with other
objects. But here's the thing. They have plenty of gun crime. Australia has incredibly strict gun control. They have gun crime. China has incredibly strict gun control. They have gun crime. They all have violent crime. Like, you're not going to stop crime by reducing the tools by which people do crime. It's like saying there's a lot of problems with breaking and entering or robberies in this area, so we're going to reduce people's access to screwdrivers and hammers.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest fucking thing that could possibly freaking happen. It's mind-numbingly stupid. And people who support it are mind-numbingly stupid. The line between takers and makers, the line between people who care about liberty and people who don't, is getting more and more and more obvious by the day. Painfully obvious at this point. It's insane.
Yep.
So heads up. Look for what they're coming for. Expect your pistol braces and your whatever else, anything else they can target. They're going to target the easy stuff first, low-hanging fruit. Whatever. It's going to be typical bullshit as always. Mm-hmm. Don't forget about our Independence Training annual event coming up out with a bang, December the 27th. It's going to be a team communication and movement class, low round count, lots of fun. Do not have to have a partner. You can show up and we'll partner you up with someone. Don't worry about that part. But we're going to do a lot of moving and shooting, working as a team, individuals. Working as a team is something a lot of people don't get an opportunity to practice doing. Every year out with a bang, we do something new, we do something different, we do something fun. This is what we're doing this year. So jump in on it if you have the opportunity. December 27th at Ben Avery in Phoenix. Pre-register online. Get all the details there. TrainingAZ.com. Get on it. Lots of great programs coming up. Lots of good training programs on the schedule. So get into what you can get into, especially right now, why you can get into it. We got our concealed carry concepts class coming up January 22nd. It's actually going to be a Friday. That particular class is our normal concealed carry concepts class, which is medicine and concealed carry, close quarter shooting with some live fire scenarios. Lots of fun, great learning. And we're also going to be donating the proceeds of that event to Sean Nealon, who was suffered a similar type raid of Pauly 80 back when he was making polymer lowers for AR-15s and had to deal with the ATF and ultimately ended up pleading out because of they have unlimited resources and he doesn't, and ended up losing his rights to own firearms. And he's trying to get those things back now. He's got a really good shot, so we're trying to do what we can to help him out because he's done so much to help us. And if you've ever taken one of our medical classes at the Tactical Medic, or you've used the Tactical Medic to get good gear, great opportunity to, give back to Sean and get a great class from us. We're not asking you guys to donate or give for free. I don't like that shit. I would rather give you something in return, so we're going to give you a class. Concealed Carry Concepts, one of my favorite classes. We don't teach it that often, sadly. But anyways.
I think this is the first time in like 2 years. I don't think we taught it last year either.
We did not. We did not teach it last year, no. We tried to put it on. It didn't have enough interest.
Yeah.
People still fill up those carbine classes, though, or whatever. Not that I'm complaining, but just like, don't forget to prioritize the stuff that's the most important to you. Anyway, Redwire Gear Moment. John's not here for this week's pre-recorded show. So Redwire Gear Moment is this. Prepare the people around you with similar or better than gear to what you have. As an example, Drew, I want to have just as good of gear as me. Medkits, guns, vehicles, backpacks, hiking shoes, hiking boots, running shoes, whatever. In some cases, better than gear in certain circumstances where, you know, where she drives the family vehicle, so I would prefer the family vehicle be better than my truck. She is my partner, and she is responsible for our tribe, so she needs to have equal to or better than gear in some circumstances. Sometimes I need to have better than gear in some circumstances based on what I'm doing with the equipment. But don't forget that the people around you, you know, I see so often, and guys, you're the fucking worst, man. You like hand me down your shit to your kids, your wives, your girlfriends, your family members. Like, oh, I'm not using this anymore. Anybody want this shit I don't use anymore? Like, it's one thing if it's a good piece of gear and, you know, you're just getting rid of it because you don't use it, or, you know, you are upgrading or something like that. But don't just hand me down all your old leftovers to the people around you. They need good gear too. Don't be selfish.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Rule number one. So Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. All right, today's topic, getting right into it because we don't really have any other news or anything to talk about, is winter prep and getting yourself and your life ready for the cold weather. So one of the things straight out of the gate that I wanted to talk about today were the five heat loss and gain mechanisms. Can you name them, Drew? Five of them. Heat loss and heat gain.
Are you talking about the vents on your body?
Not the vents, but the actual mechanisms by which you lose or gain heat, mostly through the vents. Maybe we'll start with the vents. There are three primary vents on your body. A lot of people incorrectly think they are the head and the feet. They are not the head and the feet. That's not where you lose and gain heat from.
I think that's like an old wives' tale.
It's a wives' tale because people don't understand the anatomy of the body. You know, where circulation's going, the type of vessels that are going there. Your head and feet get cold for different reasons than the fact that they're vents. Your vents particularly are the V notch of your neck. That's where your carotid artery runs. Mm-hmm. It's close to the surface there, so it's easy to add and reduce heat because, of course, we're warm-blooded mammals. And so really when we're trying to keep our bodies warm, what we're really trying to do is keep our blood warm because we need that warm blood through the arteries to be passed to all of our appendages and our organs and our core, et cetera. So that's why we're trying to keep the core warm so we can keep the blood warm, right? So in this case, you've got the V notch of the neck. That's where carotid artery runs. The armpit shoulder area, that's where the brachial artery runs. And then the V notch of the groin, that's where your femoral artery runs. So those are your three main heat vents, meaning if I'm going to, in this case, add heat, because we're talking about winter prep, if we're going to add heat, then we're going to add it in those vents. It's like when people are like, ooh, I'm cold. I want to warm up my hands. I'm like, actually, your hands will warm up faster if you make sure your core is warm. Once your core is warm, then make sure, okay, now I'm going to warm my extremities. But make sure your core is warm enough, then warm your extremities. Don't warm your extremities if your core is cold. So warm your core through those three heat vents and then worry about your extremities. And at that point, you're just warming your extremities as a comfort thing, right?
Yeah.
So those are your heat vents. But there's actually mechanisms by which you lose or gain heat, in this way, gain heat. If you understand what these mechanisms are, a lot of this has to do with just overall survival, but also medical concepts as well. If you understand what these mechanisms are, then it's way easier for you to warm up and stay warm. So I'm going to give you guys a five mechanisms for gaining heat, losing heat as well. The same shit applies. But we're talking about winter stuff, so we're going to talk about it from a gaining perspective. And this is in no particular order. But one, convection. Like a convection oven, which passes hot air over food to cook it, convection is a heat gain mechanism. So that means if I am in an area where warm air is passing, then I can warm up my core. So if you are in an area with a heater, for example, that's blowing on you, that is convection. Conduction. Conduction means I'm touching, right? So this would be like taking those hot hands or something like that and literally placing them into those vents. Now, conduction is going to add heat to the core. A third one is going to be radiation. Radiation is a heat gain mechanism. As your heat leaves your body or the body of something else, like a fire, and reflects off of something and back onto your body. So this is how blankets work. This is how coats work. This is how fires work for the most part. Not fires also work with convection, right? But we are making sure that that radiant heat is helping us. This is where a lot of people fail, especially in medical treatment of shock, where they're trying to heat people up. They wrap cold people up in blankets, and then they're like, all right, we'll get you warm. It's like they're not going to get warm. They're not creating any heat. So if they're not creating any heat, how are they supposed to radiate that heat off a blanket and back to themselves, right?
Yeah.
That's why sometimes people still wrap up corpses, basically. So radiation, perspiration, right? Perspiration. So the body's natural way of cooling or warming the body is through the pores. And then respiration, the breathing process, which in this case mostly is a heat loss mechanism. So primarily, if you look at conduction, convection, and radiation, which in the heat gain world are the best three ways to get heat into your body, now you got to start thinking about prepping your equipment for winter.
Carry hot hands everywhere you go.
Yeah. I mean, really,
in your truck.
There's no reason that you shouldn't.
Yeah.
There's no, and get heat therapy packs,
yeah.
You know? They're even better, and they're good for your muscles, but they get nice and warm, and they're adhesive. You know, hot hands are great. They're, you know, loose typically, and you can get the adhesive ones, like the foot ones or whatever. But now you can put those things on the vents. You can stick them directly to the neck, stick them directly to the armpits. If you want, stick them directly to the groin. But now it gives you the capability to put heat and keep it someplace.
Yep.
And keep that vent warm. So hot hands are a phenomenal option. You know, be careful about taking hot hands specifically and put them directly on the skin. You typically want some kind of barrier between them and the skin. They can get too hot.
Not unless it's freezing cold.
Yeah, but it can get too hot. You got to watch out. You don't want to like fall asleep with them, you know, pressed up against your skin any more than you want to do the same with a cold pack because you can burn yourself. You can get actual heat packs as well. They make like medical grade heat packs that are, they just like they make medical grade ice packs, you know, and then you just use those. Those are fine too. But one thing to do, is to start prepping to have that kind of gear available.
Yep.
Start prepping your equipment as far as what clothing you're going to wear. Rotate, go into your own clothing, rotate out the warm weather gear in the cold weather gear. Take an inventory of your coats. Take an inventory of your layers. Take an inventory of your winter gear, depending on where you are, depends on the level of winter gear you're going to need. Do you need snow boots? If you are going to be wearing snow boots every day, you don't want to be wearing the same snow boots every single day, right? Really, you don't want to be wearing the same footwear ever, every single day, because it allows bacteria growth. But especially with snow boots, they get wet, they stay wet. And then you're like, oh, no problem. I just dry them over here on the dryer. I put them, you know, close to the fire. Not too close to the fire. You want to crack them. Don't want to dry them out too quickly. But, you know, I do that. Okay, that's all good, well, and dandy. But what's going on in the inside? Like, if you're not drying the inside, then you end up with bacteria growth. So you want to make sure you're rotating.
Good socks.
Good socks. Probably the best thing you can do for footwear is good socks.
Yep.
I watch people with great footwear but bad socks, and they end up very, very sad because their feet are still cold. Get good footwear. I prefer Darn Tough. I love Darn Tough socks. They're a little expensive at first, but they're literally guaranteed for life. Drew likes the Smart Wool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you wear some Darn Tough stuff as well.
I do. I have Darn Tough on right now.
But a lot of times, you've also worn some Smart Wool a lot for your running stuff.
Yeah, I use the Smart Wool for all my running needs because they make runner socks that are low profile and can form better for different movements of your feet. But I think everything else is Smart Wool for my hiking socks.
And Darn Tough?
Yeah. Or yeah, I'm sorry, I meant Darn Tough. Yeah, I think Darn Tough are all my hiking ones and all my winter ones are Darn Tough.
So footwear is a great place to start. Look at all the rest of your gear, your pants, your clothes. Start figuring out your layering system.
Mm-hmm.
Like as it gets colder, and some of you guys are way cold already. We're slowly getting colder right now. But Look at your layering system. If you have to dress professionally, make sure you have the right gear. Make sure that you're going out with the right gear, even if you're not going to wear it. Like, I keep warm weather stuff or warm clothes, I mean, not warm weather, warm clothing in my truck pretty much all the time anyway. But I definitely make sure I've got it with me this time of year, as well as wet weather gear. Rains and snows in the wintertime, a lot. Make sure that you've got your wet weather gear with you. Even if you're not going to use it, make sure it goes with you every single day. I remember I was part of a youth program. I've been part of several youth programs over the years, but there was one particular one I was a part of, and I was waiting for a dad to come pick up his kid now after the event. Now, at this point, I was living up in northern Arizona. It was incredibly cold. It was wintertime. There was no snow on the ground, but it was damn cold. I mean, it was probably easily in the mid-30s. It was above freezing, but just barely. I remember how cold it was. It was bitter cold. And I remember how bitter cold it was because I had to wait outside because this kid's dad was supposedly coming to pick him up. He was running late. It was so damn cold. And we're just standing out there and the wind is whipping. And I'm just like, oh, my God, where the hell is your dad, you know? Finally, his dad rolls up. He jumps out of the truck. I'll never forget. This is years ago, but I will never forget the things he said next. He jumps out. He's wearing flip-flops. He's wearing shorts. He's got his T-shirt on, and he's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I got behind. I was in the house, you know, doing whatever, and I got behind on my thing. And I'm like, yeah, you know, okay, understandable from that regard, but, you know, the fucking phone. You could have called me, dude. You know, but on the other hand, I'm like, I just couldn't get over. He was like, I'm so cold. Come on, hurry. Get in the car. Get in the car. Let's go. And I'm like, dude, I look at his son, who's happened to be in a Boy Scout program with me, and he's dressed well. And we are, you know, we're cold and we're dressed for the weather. His dad's got to be freezing, you know? Anyway, his dad jumps back in and off they go. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, what if they just have something simple like a flat tire? What if the guy is doing nothing wrong, right? He's just sitting in a stop sign, minding his own business, and wham, he gets freaking nailed from behind. Like, I've been rear-ended at a stop sign, literally just minding my own business. Then you just hear, boom, and you get nailed, and you're like, well, shit, that was totally not my fault, you know? So you can be doing everything right and still get screwed. Tire could go flat, whatever. I'm like, man, what if you had an actual emergency? You're not even ready, dude. You're not even ready. You're going to be outside. You're going to be freezing to death.
Yeah. You know what also helps is helping your bike. I know you're going to laugh at me.
Yeah.
And tell me I'm full of shit.
What's that?
Because I don't brag. Actually, I kind of do. Acclimate your body.
Well, no, that's not. Why would I laugh at that? That's what we do.
Because I take hot showers.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, don't take as hot of showers, which yeah. I started reducing the heat.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something to acclimating your body. I remember when I used to be running the majority of my runs, either pretty much really late at night or really early in the morning, my body was more used to being cold. So when it was cold and I was just standing around not really doing anything, I wasn't as cold because my body was already pretty much used to it. I mean, you're still cold to an extent, but you're not shivering and, you know, over, like, can't stand it out being out there. Start acclimating your body to it. Go on walks while it's cold outside. Get your body used to it being cold so it adjusts better in case you are stuck outside for a little bit.
Well, oftentimes people will see me out, like, on the training range. We'll be out, you know, teaching or something, and I'm like, not wearing a coat.
Yeah.
And it'll be cold, yeah. You know, and they're like, how are you not cold? And I'm like, because I'm acclimated. I'm outside all the time.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not being tough. Sometimes people are like, oh, you're just being tough. No, I'm not. I'm not a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I've also been outside my entire life. I recreate outside. I've never, well, let me take that back. I have, with the exception of a couple years of my entire life, I have never had an indoor job. You know, I've always been outside. I work outside. I recreate outside. I love being outside. I'm not a tough guy. I'm not trying to be tough. It'd be fucking stupid to go out there ill-prepared. But sometimes my body's generating enough heat with my activity and everything else I'm doing, and my body is acclimated to being a little cold.
Yeah.
So when I get a little chilly, I'm not going to throw a coat on, mostly. If I'm out camping or something, I'm going to throw a fucking coat on.
Yeah.
Because when I'm out of the training range and I'm a little cold, I'm like, ah, no big deal. I know, you know, class is over in an hour, hour and a half or something, you know, sun's setting, whatever. It's getting a little chilly, wind picked up, whatever it may be. I'm just going to kind of not tough it out, but I'm just going to be okay with this little bit of chill. I'm going to enjoy this little bit of chill. Yeah. Like, I like going out in the morning now. It's like a little bit of chill, take my coat off, enjoy the little bit of chill because it still is heating up, so to speak, in the afternoon where I know I'm going to be like, ooh, I wish it was a little chilly again. And I know that my truck cab or my coat or whatever is right there.
Yeah.
But if I'm out in a situation where I'm like, oh, shit, I need to conserve this energy.
But you're also still in proper attire. You're still having a long sleeve shirt on.
Yeah,
you're not going out there in shorts. But what I do remember, and I think it was – maybe it was one of the students over this last weekend because we were in Wilcox and it was cold.
It was, yeah.
But it wasn't cold enough to the point where I needed like three shirt long sleeves, jackets. But what sucked was the wind.
Yes.
The wind was
damn chilly.
Yeah. The wind's what made it really cold. And I think I was actually talking to Matt or Tyler. I can't remember. But I was saying when I used to run, you know, late at night, almost I used to run 5 days a week that my body, it was like no big deal. Mm-hmm. I could be out there and be totally fine. But now I'm kind of changed since I am not outside as much, or you know, when we run now, usually the sun's out, so it's warm. But even now, running, I don't wear a long sleeve shirt unless it's 32 degrees because if I run with a long sleeve on, I'll die.
And you're baking,
yeah.
Well, and so that's part of it is that's a huge part of prepping for the winter is getting out in the winter. It's just people do the same bullshit in the wintertime that they do in the summertime. In the summertime, right, I call them the AC dwellers, you know?
Yeah, where they
down
go
here
from,
in Phoenix, they just go from AC to AC to AC to AC, and then they have to be outside for a couple hours for an event or something. They're just like, oh, my God, it's so hot. I don't know how you handle it. How do you teach in this weather? It's 115 degrees. I'm like,
drink water.
I'm out here all the day, every day. Yeah. I'm out here 4 or 5 days a week. I'm out here in the heat. I acclimate to it. You bounce from air conditioning to air conditioning to air conditioning to air conditioning. Your body never has a chance to acclimate to the weather. You're screwed. It's still hot to me. I'm still sweating my ass off.
Yeah.
I'm still not pleasantly enjoying this, but I'm acclimated to it.
Mm-hmm.
The same shit applies to the cold weather.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, now it's chilly. I'm going to go from heater to heater to heater to heater. And it's like, don't do that.
And that's one thing that I try to do as well is not have your heat blasting in your house. Don't make it so incredibly hot in your house. We keep our heater on at 65 and that's it. Literally, it stays at 65. If it gets any hotter in the house, I start, like, dying. You know, put extra blankets on. But let your body start adjusting that way.
Kids are fine. Wintertime.
Kids are fine. They're running around. They've got blankets. They've got their pajamas, their long sleeves.
You're like, hey, if you're a little cold, put some more fucking clothes on, kid.
Our kids never complain anyways about it being cold. But 65, I feel, is like it's a perfect temperature, you know? It's not too hot, but it's also not too cold to where you wake up. Yeah, it's a little chilly in the morning, but I'd rather have it a little chilly in the morning and then put extra clothes on or a blanket or whatever than having the heat blasting you. Yeah. I know I get super congested when the heat is blasting anyways.
Well, it's that artificial heat too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're not the heat from a heater – blowing, circulating through your house, and the heat from like a nice fireplace or something, like that's one thing definitely. Our next house, fireplace. I fucking love fire pit in the backyard is nice. It placates me, all right? But I like a fireplace. It's an entirely different type of heat. It really is.
Yeah, I fucked up.
Yeah, where are you at with that? Where are you at with that?
I guess, can we add a fireplace in our house?
Yeah. I'll just knock a hole in this wall, build a chimney. What am I, a pioneer?
Yes.
So it's really important to acclimate your body and to wear the right clothes and to have them available. Even if you don't put them on, have them available. Think, if everything went wrong today, would I have the right equipment with me?
Right.
We don't have to think as much about that in the summer. In the summertime, you're like, if I take a big hat and an umbrella, I can prepare for the prepare for the majority
but
of summertime.
Carry extra blankets in your vehicle and carry extra coats.
Mm-hmm.
If you have little kids, carry spare clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, I will probably go put, you know, a pair of the older clothes for the three younger ones, just spare ones in the car just so we have them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always a good idea to carry more. I mean, we have that heat blanket in the trucks as well, which obviously helps, but those are one-time use and then they're done.
Well, but we also have the Blizzard blankets. Yeah. We've got our own actual blankets that we have. You know, we both got a couple whoobies in there. It's like, the other thing about this is like the Redwire gear moment I shared with you guys about not being a dick and thinking about other people in your tribe. At any point in time, I've got like four coats in my truck.
Yeah.
And that's no shit. I literally carry four warm coats in my truck.
You're at the ladies' AR class where you pass all of them out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's just the thing. Like ladies' AR class, it was super cold. The wind is whipping. I got a dozen ladies there, half of which are not ready for the winter, you know, between me and Bravo, one of our other instructors, and a couple other ladies, you know, we got them all the ones who weren't quite prepared coats so that they could then get the most out of the class. Otherwise, just going to stand around shiver.
Yeah.
And that's not going to help them.
No.
But that's not necessarily who I'm carrying my extra coats for. I'm carrying my extra coats for Drew and the kids.
Yeah.
But it's like those extra coats have saved me a lot. Man, they've saved me a lot of times. It's nice. I like to carry – like I have two coats for me particularly that are of different layers. Like I've got a light kind of windbreaker type coat that I can just throw on, just kind of keeps the wind chill off me. And then I've got like my actual, you know, winter coat that I've had forever. But I carry these things around with me everywhere I go. Don't forget to prep yourself for that, right? If I have to stop, if I am in a vehicle accident, if I have to get out of my vehicle, if I have to leave my vehicle, whatever, it's really cold out there. If I have a flat tire, something simple, you know, I want to be warm. I don't be out there freezing my freezing ass hands. Throw some hot hands. I always throw, you know, a couple things of hot hands in the truck. Keep them in there, man. You never know when they're going to be advantageous to you. And they're 99 fucking cents, dude.
Yeah.
Just grab a couple of them and throw them in there. Like, it ain't going to kill you. Carry some freaking hot hands in there. It's a really easy thing to do. So, you know, that's one way we want to be prepping, all right? We definitely kind of, you know, we got that, all right? We want to prep ourselves. We want to prep our bodies. Want to prep our clothing. All right. What else do we want to prep? Well, the same stuff we talked about in the summer prep show, we're going to kind of talk about here just to remind you guys, like, look at your vehicles. Cold weather kills batteries. Cold weather fucks with your tire pressure. You know, cold weather cracks rubber. Just like hot weather screws with things, cold weather does too. Cold weather freezes fluids. So go to your vehicle and look at the things that might get damaged by cold weather. Check your tire pressure. Make sure it's good to go. Check your windshield wipers. Make sure you're ready for, you know, frozen weather and cold weather and ice and things like that. Make sure that you're ready with your big window scrapers.
Yeah.
Get a big set of mittens, man. There's nothing worse. Oh, my gosh. I've lived in snow country a lot of my life. There is nothing worse than scraping your windows with a scraper and that ice is falling back on your hands and you don't have warm gloves. Like, I have a set of these Carhartt mittens that my uncle from up in hometown Wyoming got me and gave me a couple years ago. Oh, my gosh. These things are just a godsend. They're so incredibly warm. And it's like, now if I'm doing anything out in the cold where I don't need fine motor skill tactile capability, which like scraping windows, you don't. I've got a good window scraper, and I've got these big old mittens, and oh, man, are they nice to have. I've got like three pairs of gloves in my truck. Again, not just for me, but for other people too. And a couple of them are very, very warm, and a couple of them are just regular old gloves. But I want to make sure that I've got that capability. Check your vehicle. Make sure you've got the right tools. They're going to help you in cold weather problems. You know, if you're in areas where you might need chains, double check your chains. Make sure they're not all gnarled up in the box or the bag or wherever you keep them, and they're all chewed up, and now you're trying to slip them onto the tire, and they're sideways twisted. Don't do that out in the cold when you're freezing, man. Go into your, you know, heated living room, pull out your chains and lay them out and make sure they're in good repair. Make sure none of them are broken or nicked too badly. They're not going to chew on your tires or anything like that. Make sure your chains are good to go. If you live in the kind of country, you might have to slip some chains on your tires.
Yeah.
Start looking at that cold weather equipment. Do it now before it's too late, before you need it. We're talking about doing things that are taking 5-10 minutes of your time. Not a lot of time. Put some extra stuff in there. It's always going to be cold in the wintertime, so make sure you're always taking extra food with you. Don't leave the house. Your laptop case, your backpack, your diaper bag, your daily carry backpack, your range bag, whatever it is, throw some extra food in there. Cold weather, use more calories, you're going to need more food. All right, high caloric energy snacks are really going to help you in the cold weather. You know, I enjoy during the colder weather snacking throughout the day as opposed to eating very large meals. Obviously, I'm going to eat large meals when it's appropriate, but snacking throughout the day really keeps that energy up. You know, when you're out there, especially in the colder weather. Now, you know, you're still working in a cubicle farm or something, that may not be as big of a deal, but you still want to carry those high caloric foods with you when you're going to be out in the cold weather or exposed to the cold weather. You know, again, mm-hmm. I'm riding public transportation or I'm driving my car back and forth to work. You never know when you might need them. Carry a little bit of extra food with you. Think about what your body is going to need. It's going to need those fats more. It's going to need those calories more. It's going to need those sugars more. Make sure that you're giving it the right stuff, right? So your diet, the energy you're putting in your body is something that needs to be prepped and considered when you're, you know, doing this kind of or living in colder environments, and we're all doing it in one way, shape, or form. Now, other things to be prepped is going to be your house. Look at your house. Get your furnace. Have it checked. It's $100 or so, somewhere in that ballpark, just to have a tech come out and check your stuff. Mm-hmm. Have them check your furnace. Make sure everything is okay. Make sure you don't have any leaks. Check the thermostat. Check everything. You do not want a furnace going out, man. I have had a furnace go out in the middle of wintertime, and I've had an air conditioning go out in the middle of summertime. I'm telling you, it sucks. Luckily, both times they were relatively easy fixes, things I can figure out on my own. But man, does it suck while they're out. You know, so make sure that you're having it serviced now before that deep, dark winter where you're like, oh my gosh, the furnace is out, we're freezing, and now we got all these little floor furnaces and all that. You know, it's like, that's not going to work as well. If you need firewood, cut it now. Mm-hmm. Get out there and cut some fire or buy it. I don't care whether you're cutting or buying or whatever, but get stocked up. In my opinion, everyone who has a fireplace should have a cord of wood, all right? C-O-R-D, cord, right? You should have a cord of wood. You should have at least that much. Yes, it's a real measurement, all right? You should have an actual cord of wood. And maybe for some of you guys who obviously rely on your fireplaces, or maybe you have a pellet stove or something like that, you're going to need more than that if you're relying on it all the time. You know, you're going to need several pallets of pellets potentially or several cords of wood to be able to get through the wintertime. And that's, you know what you need. But always have extra, those really extra cold nights, or electronics go out, or there's a little social disruption or something like that. Make sure you have extra for your cold weather fireplace or pellet stove or whatever you may have that's helping you to heat things up. If you're like us and you just have a regular old furnace, make sure you get the thing serviced. Make sure you're checking your filters, that your filters have been changed recently. Make sure that everything is working. If you've got something like a Nest thermostat or something like that, like Drew was just talking about, our thermostat's maintained because we have it on a schedule, and that's a digital thermostat, and you can set the schedule. Make sure you jump in there, turn things over to heat or whatever you need to do, and set the new schedule for what you want it to be. That way you're also being energy efficient, and you're not using all this stuff when you're at home, your house, or when you're not at home. I mean, your house doesn't need to be 70 degrees or whatever. Make sure that you're, appropriately making your schedule and making sure that that is working. Other things in your house, get ready for those faucet freezers, right? If you're in freezing country, make sure you get those, antifreeze, faucet covers.
Yeah.
Disconnect your hoses. Don't leave water in your hoses, Get animal water covered up or insulated, or you can get water heaters for that kind of stuff. So it just makes your life easier and you're prepared and ready for that, nasty freezing weather, right? You're running diesel and sub-freezing temperatures right now. Make sure you got your diesel heaters ready to go, right? If you don't have one installed on your diesel truck, get your diesel heater ready to go. Make sure it's still running well so that when you jump out there in the middle, in the morning and get that thing fired up, you're not dealing with freaking jelly diesel, all right? So these are all just little things, and through these concepts, we don't know your life particularly, but so through these concepts, we're hoping that this will also jar your memory or jar your brain and going, oh yeah, I also need to prep this, I need to prep that. Don't forget to prep everybody else, right? Your people, that's your friends, your family, the people around you, the people you're going to spend time with. Nothing screws up an outing more. You show up totally freaking prepared. And then your buddy shows up for a night on the town, or your girlfriend shows up to go on a date or something like that, and you're like, all right, here we are, and they're not ready. They got bad footwear. They're not, feet are cold, hands are cold, don't have gloves. So it's like, remind them, hey, you got to be that person. You know, you got to be that person who's going to remind your people, hey, guys, we're going out tonight. Don't forget your coats. Hey, don't forget your warm gloves, because I would want someone to remind me so that I didn't forget. I have a busy day. I get home. It's like, oh, shit, I'll go out with the guys. Let me grab my stuff. Oh, shit, I forgot my gloves. If my buddy had texted me, hey, guys, don't forget your freaking gloves. It's cold night. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. That's a freaking good reminder. All right. Let your people know. Make sure that they're prepared. You got two vehicles like we do, or three or four maybe, right? I mean, really, we have three vehicles. When our oldest son is with us, then we've got to make sure his vehicle's prepped properly. Is it ready for the wintertime? Not just my truck, but is Drew's vehicle ready for the wintertime? Is his car ready for the wintertime? We got to prep everything. Don't be selfish here. Make sure that you're prepping things beyond this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in real cold country, especially, you know, places where things get iced over, snowed over, et cetera, start getting some extra food. Get your extra hygiene items. Get your extra daily supplies. Get ready to have roads cut off for a couple days. Get ready to have access to utilities cut off potentially for a couple of days. You know, do you have a generator hookup? If you've been waiting to do that cool upgrade where you get an electrician out to your house and have them hook your house up so it can, you know, be run off a big generator, now's the time to do it. Because if power gets cut off and you need to be able to run, you know, the hot things in your house to keep your family comfortable and or alive, now's the time to make sure that you've got that backup plan in place.
Yeah.
I'll start looking at what your backup plan is going to be for food, water, everything, communication, whatever it may be. If services get disrupted, and that could be from just natural causes to anything else, you know, look at communication devices. How are you going to communicate with people when cell phone towers freeze up? How are you going to communicate with people when
we experience that? Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, Drew and I experienced, we went out on a hike and the cell phone towers froze up in the area and we literally couldn't even call anybody.
Yeah.
You know, luckily I had another method to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, so that we could, it was a spot, my little spot receiver. So, you know, still able to communicate with people. So consider what's going on, what emergencies might happen. Sit down and run through that risk reality matrix we've talked about so many times. Discover what your real risk are and what the reality of each one of those risks are, and that will help you prioritize what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then do that. Do that first, even if it's boring. Calling an electrician to hook up the generator is not exciting. It's boring, you know, but it might be really, really important wherever you're at.
Yep.
So what else? Anything else you can think of, Drew, to prep for winter?
I think we covered it.
A lot of different things here.
Yeah.
Hopefully, like I said, the idea isn't to give you every possible solution, but just to help you guys think about the things that you might need to be doing.
And like you said earlier, everybody's situation is a little bit different. So take a look at your wife. Do the risk reality matrix. See what you might necessarily need more of in the wintertime. You know, also different areas are going to need different things. Like, we don't have to prep for snow in Phoenix, but floods. We had a flood the other day when it rained, which was amazing. Haven't had a flash flood warning in a long time.
Yeah, it was nice to have, actually. I'm like, yes, flash flood warning.
We usually get those for monsoon season, but we didn't even have a monsoon season. So, but yeah, I mean, take a look at your – constantly be checking your weather. I do – all the time. Some people don't ever look at the weather to see what it's going to be like. I check it probably every day, at least once, to see what's going on with it. So whether or not, you know, I'm going to need a thick coat, a light coat, because Arizona, we're still kind of doing the light coat thing here. But I always have a backup thick coat if I need to add more layers.
One thing, I was just reading through a winter checklist for homes, and a lot of it was stuff we already covered, and some of it was a little too specific to mention here. But one of the things that jarred my memory was, check big, heavy branches that might become snow-laden around your property. Make sure you trim them back, cut them down, whatever you need to do. Heavy-laden snow branches, holy cow, does the snow weigh a lot when it packs up. So make sure you're not going to, you know, break big branches and you fall through a freaking roof or bust your fence or damage your car. Just be a pain in the ass. So, you know, check your trees in the area. Make sure they're not hanging over something that could break if you're in snow country and those things are going to get real snow-laden and fall down and break.
I've
had to lead before.
Yeah.
Not so much in Phoenix now. But.
Or if you're prone to having bad winter storms, think about, are your trees too heavy? Do they need to be trimmed? Are they going to blow over? I mean, we have one of your buddies send us photos all the time. He lives in Louisiana, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Of people not taking care of their trees properly, and half of a house was destroyed. And then his car was like a month later.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he got freaking hosed in that whole deal.
But did he, though? Was he not properly taking care of his trees?
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, it's probably some stuff he could have avoided.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
So if you know that you're prone to winter storms who have heavy, heavy winds, think of your trees. Are they trimmed this year? So all those kind of good things. You don't need a tree crashing down in your living room as you're sitting there watching TV.
Hopefully all these different ideas we've given you have jarred your mind and got you thinking about ways that you need to better prep yourself or your people around you, your life, your home, your vehicle, so that you can have a good winter time. And so that winter doesn't create some big pain in the ass for you. And there's a thousand other things probably we could talk about, but we're hoping that the things we discuss were you can figure out how to make them applicable to your life or so that they get your mind thinking in the right way. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you, get more information about hosting us and how you can train for free via email, info@trainingaz.com. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out the other shows on the network. Next week, we'll be live again in the studio, so our Facebook viewers have no fear. You'll be able to watch us again. We're going to have a guest, Garrett Smith, in the studio talking about what's killing us in our food.
Oof.
Yeah,
I'm sure
stuff.
It's everything.
Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.